Jeff Brand's put this all together. He's the lead author of the report. He's at Bond University. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Raph. How are you going?
Where do the numbers come from? Who did you ask?
So this research is fielded for us by Nielsen Research. And basically, we talked to 1,234 Australian adults. We asked them about all the people in their household. So that includes children and parents and grandparents. And that covers, in our study, over 3,000 people.
Oh, it's over 3,000?
Right. So, I mean, we have over 1,200 households.
Respondents,
but in those
sure.
households, yeah, that's right. We've asked those responders to tell us about all the other people in the household, whether or not they play, how old they are, you know, whether they're male or female. And it's really quite fascinating that, as you said, 67% of all Australians are playing games.
Average age?
The average age is 34. Of course, we know that the Australian population is aging, so it's not a great surprise that year on year we're seeing, you know, small increments and increases in age. But we've been doing this research now, Raph, for 12 years, and we started back in 2005. And when we started the research, the average age was 24. It's certainly true that the average age of a person playing a video game is increasing faster than the average age of the population, and that's because people over the age of 50, 65, they're all playing.
Are they all playing the same games?
No, it's a good question because, of course, as you said, in your setup, there are a lot of different types of games. And sure, some older players are playing more challenging, you know, sort of more heavy-duty games. But most older players are playing games online. They're playing games, they say, to challenge their minds. So games that can be everything from something like Civilization to a simulator, to Sudoku.
Jeff Brands from Bond University. I just want to have a quick chat to Maurizio in Thornbury. How long were you playing and what game?
4 to 5 hours a day up until a week ago. My wife was catching on to my little soliloquy. Not too impressed. The size of the callus on my thumb, which is actually where the iPad rests,
right,
was getting to... I mean, it's absurd. It's bigger than the callus.
Where did you fit in 4 or 5 hours a day?
I work from home, which is really problematic. So, yes, it is a trap. I've just deleted no access, no areas, just gone, just no more.
And the game?
Clash of Clans.
Clash of Clans, yeah, I suspect many people. Thank you, Maurizio. 3:10. Jeff, is that an unusual amount of time, 4.5 hours a day?
Yeah, look, Mauricio's story is not a, you know, an unfamiliar one, but it is a very large amount of time. I mean, I didn't catch what his age is, but he sounds like he might be in his 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
And look, I think that in that age group, according to our research at least, the average amount of time is about 80 minutes a day. Overall, I mean, on our calculations, the average Australian who plays video games spends about 89 minutes a day, or 90 minutes, let's call it an hour and a half.
You're being very honest on your text messages. Raph, on the toilet, Clash of Clans, same game. Every morning, then sporadically during the day, I'm 50. Someone else, approximately 20 minutes each of poker and free cell. I don't know that. So 40 minutes a day, which is ... a waste of time. That's from Greg in Ballarat. Jeff, what's changed? You mentioned the average age has gone up. I imagine we're all playing more games?
Well, we are, and I think that you know, your first caller made a really great point, and that is with something like a tablet computer, you know, games are just much more accessible. I think the really big changes we've seen, Raph, over the past 10 years have been things like mobile phones and tablet computers. Obviously, you know, these are broadband accessible devices. Many of them have mobile broadband on them. Broadband in Australia we complain about, of course, but, I mean, it is more plentiful than it was 10 years ago, and it is cheaper. And people, as a result of having these devices, have more access to a much larger range of games. And, in fact, I think one of the really interesting stories here is that now that we have literally hundreds of thousands of different types of games that are playable through mobile devices and we're looking for them, there's almost a game for every interest.
Someone's texted me now, playing one now, age 64, Candy Crush Saga, level 788. Oh dear, ... Jeff Brand's with us from Bond University. I'd love to know how much you're playing games, or maybe how long you spend getting your kids and tearing them away from playing games, or your partner tearing them away from playing a game. Jeff, are games good for you or bad for you? Have we got an answer to that?
We do, Raf. I mean, I think that the, you know, the most important point to make here is there's been a lot of research, because we're always worried about new media and we're always worried about things that people find interesting or that are popular. You know, the Australian government has looked into it and they've concluded that the research on the bad side of games is really hard to do because, of course, the outcomes are often ethically pretty challenging. The research on the positive side of games is easier to do because you can look for health benefits, and, of course, it's ethically easier to look for those benefits.
Right.
The journal Nature, back in 2013, published a really interesting piece of research that showed that give people over the age of 60 a driving puzzle game, and let them play it for several hours. Over time, they increase their responses and reduce their delay times to various challenges down to the age of an older 20-year-old, so late
20s. So that's just to rephrase that, Jeff, for someone over 60 playing one of those games, what gives them a type of mental activity that is similar to that of a 20-year-old?
It gives them a physical and a mental activity like a 20-year-old. I mean, it's not perfect, obviously, but I think one of the things that we're finding is that games being used for things like mental stimulation, for emotional balance, can be, in fact, quite powerful. And there are many businesses now, and this is where Australia, I think, has a great opportunity. There are many businesses building specialist games for health outcomes, including successful aging. And we asked participants in our study, what could games be good for when you're, you know, aging? And most of them said for mental stimulation, but a lot of them also said for fighting dementia, for improving balance. And I know that there's research here in Australia by Neura with the old DDR, Dance Dance Revolution mats, to improve balance of sufferers from multiple sclerosis. And they're getting better responses than you can get with drugs. So I think there's a long way to go with the research, but it is promising.
Really interesting to hear that it's much easier to measure the positive than the negative. Jeff Brand is with us. His survey, they commissioned it from Nielsen. So Nielsen used to do things like political surveys. They now do tons of commercial research. The essential finding, two-thirds of us Australians are playing an hour and a half a day on average anyway. Robin is in Geelong. Go for it, Robin. What do you want to tell us?
I just like to share with you, try going into a gaming shop and ask for a game that doesn't involve violence or killing people, and they may look at you really weird. So isn't the bigger picture, hey, people need to spend 80 minutes a day killing people?
Well, there are lots of non-violent games though, Robin.
I'm not negating that, but I'm simply saying the majority of games people tend to play, I'm willing to suggest, if it reflects what you see in a gaming store, are violent ones.
Great observation, Robin. Let's ask Jeff from Bond University, Dr. Jeff Brand. Do you know what sort of games? Did you measure that, Jeff?
Well, we used to ask specifically about titles and also genres, and Robin makes a very good point. There is a very large part of all media that has a lot of violence. I mean, all you have to do is look on evening television or films, and you just find an enormous amount of violence. And I think one of the points to make here is that a lot of our storytelling involves some sort of conflict. I'm not trying to diminish the point that he's making, because he's making a very good point. My point is simply that, you know, violence is a part of our storytelling. Having said that, there are just so many games now available on the market that are mind games, that are education games. And, of course, there are world and history exploration games. I mean, I have three sons, so I'm well aware of the challenges. As a parent, I think moderation is important. I think looking for a balance of content is absolutely critical. Robin says that, you know, when you go into a store, you have trouble finding games that don't have violence. But I'll point out that two-thirds of all content purchased now for game devices in Australia by Australians is downloaded. So it's available online. And there's a lot of diversity there.
Look, some of your texts, Raf, I know of at least two marriages that ended due to online gaming. In both situations, both men were well-educated, middle-class, and have lost their families as a result. By the way, these are not gambling games. They are like Clash of Clans. Crazy stuff. That's from Kathy. Someone else texting, Raf, I play video games for 3 hours a night on average, PS4 mostly. I play after the wife and kids are in bed. I am 37. And someone else texting, I play Cookie Jam when I'm waiting for my kids. I'm outside the school now and I am on level 2,720. I feel like a Luddite because despite playing a lot of these games as a teenager, or at least wasting 20-cent coins, I know nothing of almost all of them. Jeff, who paid for your study? Was it your research or did you get someone else to pay for it?
Yeah, no, this is definitely funded research, Raf. Of course, all research is funded, and this one is funded by the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association. So, of course, you know, you have to look at some of these numbers and say, are you sure? Is this research really, you know, fair dinkum research? And my response to that is you know, understanding audiences who play games, understanding the demography, understanding attitudes and behaviors is really important, and it's not something that, you know, the Australian Research Council would probably support. We have done research also for the Classification Office. So government is interested in this research, and they do cite this research.
I'm just curious, Jeff, why would the industry pay for research like this?
Yeah, because they want to know who's playing. They want to know what the attitudes are, and they're very interested, quite frankly, in understanding if older players, if women, if people are using games for purposes other than entertainment, is in fact true. I mean, just to give you one example, over a quarter of our participants are saying in this study that they've used a game-related product at work for training. So gamification, which many of your listeners would have heard of, is just using game mechanics for something that is a serious outcome, whether it's education or training. Half of all parents in the study say that they know that their kids have used games in school for the curriculum. This sort of stuff is really important because the industry wants to know, is there a market? Is there a market for moving away from what some of your callers are concerned about, which is entertainment games, to something that has a more, let's say, serious purpose?
Understood. Jeff Brands at Bond University. So research done by an independent company, paid for by the interactive gaming industry. Alan is in Ringwood North. What do you want to say, Alan?
Yes, Raph, you touched on some really interesting points, and I noticed that Clash of Clans seems to be a game that everyone's talking about. Clash of Clans and Clash Royale have given us so much trouble in our marriage because of our 10-year-old son.
What, explain the issues, Alan.
Well, he's addicted to, of course, it was Agario and that at first, and now it's Clash of Clans and Clash Royale. And the problem is that we can't get rid of it off his iPad that he uses for school because he just goes back into family purchases and just re-downloads it. So the problem is with companies like Apple that once you download the game, you cannot delete it from the cloud. He just simply goes back and clicks off family purchases and gets it back off my wife.
But Alan, you mentioned it's a problem for your marriage. How does it play into your relationship?
The issues that it's brought up between my wife and myself, the arguments we've had over you know, him playing. You know, I say to her, look, just let him play a little bit. And he's become basically addicted to this game to the point where he's playing 3 or 4 hours a day. We've got to the point now where I just said to him, look, if it's more important than your schoolwork, then you play it, but you'll fail school. And it's really causing some issues. And I can't get rid of the game. I took him off family. I actually removed him from family purchases, but then he lost a lot of his schoolwork, so I actually had to put him back on.
Yeah, no, it's not the easiest. They're not the easiest of resources to navigate. Look, really interesting, Alan. James in Pakenham asking the obvious question: where do people find the time to play these games? I suppose that's what I'd ask you, Jeff. What do we have good time use surveys? What were people doing 20 years ago? What are they not doing now if they're spending so much time playing games?
Well, we've actually looked at this over the past several years, and one of the things that we've found is that games tend to compete more with other media than they do with things outside media. So, for example, I mean, and your listeners are pointing out some real difficulties that do exist with the media diet that we often engage in. And it's really important that when, as I said, I'm a father of three boys, you have to set parameters very early, and you have to be really tough. And that's not just around games. It's around books even. And books are very expensive. And if they get hooked on a particular series, many of them have 20, 30, you know, books in the series, it can be really hard to find them in the library and certainly expensive to buy them. So it's all about, I mean, you know, I'm sorry to hear that some people, you know, and I'm aware of it, some people have trouble, you know, with managing games in the family. Many of us do. But it's all a part of our, you know, modern you know, our modern culture. And games, you know, we looked at, for example, whether or not people stop playing sport when they start playing games. It turns out that people who play video games are more likely to engage in sport-related activities. And I think there's something about that that's really interesting, and that is this, you know, what researchers call a ludic attitude, a ludic or playful attitude. So some people just like games, whether they're in real life or they're in virtual life.